Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Thank you so much for joining us on this Friday, July 30th, 2021. And hello, Wichita. Our voices are inside you now. I don't know if that's the correct way to say that. I think I may want to reword that next time, but you get the point.
Well,
I
understood.
Mike McFarland, good morning. How are you, sir?
Yeah, you might want to reword that one again.
Mac, I've just been informed that you've been traded back to the A's trade deadline today. Your thoughts, please.
Hey, well, why not? Everyone else is crying out loud. Just talking to Jake. Yeah, I thought yesterday was the trade deadline.
Right.
Yeah. Wait for the counter moves today. Holy smoke.
I got people telling me last couple weeks, well, I don't know if we're going to see much action. I mean, blah, 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 and then all hell's breaking loose. Let's start with the one that matters the most to the Royals. Danny Duffy gets traded to the Dodgers. Now, before we get into Danny Duffy, and I would like to get your thoughts and just, you know, Danny Duffy's been here forever, man, and it's emotional for some people, but he is going to be a free agent. He is on the IL, and I think there still is a good chance that he comes back and signs again with the Royals. But the thing that I really took away, which was I thought was significant, was the fact that, look, it's listed as player to be named later. There's a group of players that they're going to be able to choose from that they'll be able to scout over the next couple of months. And with the lack of a minor league season last year, I think that's good that they get a chance to, you know, these next, you know, a couple of months are important in scouting a young player. But what I think was really significant is that the Royals are sending some money along with Danny Duffy to offset the fact that he's not going to pitch and everything else, but also to help improve the player or whatever they get back from the Dodgers. And that's not always how they've done business. And I think that's an excellent sign from this ownership group led by John Sherman, that they're willing to add some money in this deal in hopes of getting a better player back. What do you think?
Huge difference. They never, ever sent money to anybody. They never cut a player and eat a salary, you know, in previous years. Big difference there. And I think, you know, as Mr. Sherman starts to learn the ins and outs of how things are done, I think Dayton's going to get a little bit more leeway to do it in this creative fashion. And like you said, it's sending some money to improve the pool of players to choose from and get a little bit better return on the deal. You know, I'm happy for Danny that, one, he's going back home, too. He's the Dodgers, really? The Yankees of the National League? Just going out and getting anybody and everybody, and as you know, again, talking with Jake, that Trevor Bauer deal isn't going to get resolved anytime soon. Mm-hmm. Holy smokes. Wait for the counter move from the Padres today. I mean, it has to happen, let alone that, or the San Francisco Giants, who are still, by the way, that no one remembers, is leading the NL West. So, I think it's going to be fast and furious this afternoon, and they're going to start sweetening the pot, so to speak, to get some of these other players' bats. They may just make some moves out of panic, quite honestly, just to counter something loading up on the arms that the Dodgers have. You need to find a left-handed bat if you're the Padres or the Giants, and that just makes, you know, Dayton in a better position if someone is coming after Santana or someone along those lines.
So that brings up an interesting topic, because there were reports that before the Red Sox agreed to a deal to acquire Kyle Schwarber, that they talked to the Royals about Carlos Santana, but Dayton Moore was reluctant to trade him because he's got another year on his deal. And then he said yesterday that he said he doesn't want to trade Mikey Minor or Whit Merrifield or Carlos Santana, guys that still have time left on their contract. And I understand Whit Merrifield, but I don't you tell me if I'm wrong. I don't think that Carlos Santana and Mike Minor should be mentioned with Whit Merrifield because they have one more, you know, year left on their deal. But if a team, and especially like you made a great point. Now with all these trades happening yesterday, the Padres or the Giants, all these other teams are going to look to counter those moves, and maybe now's the time where you can get a team to give up too much for a player like Santana or whatever you're dealing. Do you think that's the right approach for Dayton Moore saying, I don't want to trade anyone with time left on their contracts after this year? I just want to trade players with expiring contracts?
Well, I mean, look, you know, the Nats dumped players right and left, the Nationals, you know, so just think of possibly what the situation was when they, you know, what the trade was to get him over to Boston. Maybe the deal that Boston was discussing with Dayton didn't involve the prospects. Now Dayton can sit back and say, all right, come at me again, and let's think a little bit more and get some of that cash back that we had to give out to send Danny to the Dodgers. So, I Dayton's shrewd enough to work this system that if he gets something comparable and some money and some prospects, something along those lines, yeah, absolutely. I think he'd deal Santana just because of the professional hitter approach that he takes at the plate with the that he's been through some of those battles and postseason. So I think you're going to see a lot of fun happening, and I know probably starting right about now Dayton's phone's blowing up looking for some pieces. But, yeah, I don't put Santana or Minor in anywhere near the category of Whit Merrifield. Whit Merrifield is one of the few that is a non entity in the trade prospects right now.
So the one thing about it, though, Mac, is that Dayton has said, and everybody who's talked to people in the Royals front office has reported that they are basing a lot of their decisions on the idea that they can compete next year. And it's just interesting because, like, you talk about the Nationals and the Cubs. Those two teams have decided to tear it down. They've decided, okay, it's time to tear apart the nucleus and rebuild this thing. The Nationals are 8 games under .500. The Cubs are 4 games under .500. The Royals are 11 games under .500 after having one of their hottest stretches of the year. Now, look, I know record doesn't mean everything about where you are next year, but what do you think about that? Should they be basing their decisions on the idea that I mean, because what he said is, we want Santana because he's under contract next year and we're going to win next year. Should they be making their decisions based off that?
Well, if that's their true belief, and they have a better handle on the situation with, you know, obviously with Danny. Danny was going to be gone for, what, another month, they were saying, anyway?
Yeah, and he's not back next year. He's not under contract next year.
Yeah, and well, there's a, you know, you can bring him back, you know, just depending upon that. But still, a better chance to bring up some of these younger pitchers and give them that experience that they so desperately need at the major league level. I mean, you know, getting your backside handed to you, your first couple starts out up in the big leagues, you get sent back down and come back up and try and prove it the second time around. And then what about the development of some of these young hitters that are in the minor leagues that we've been hearing so much about? So next year, okay, maybe it's a 2013, 2014 type situation that then leads into, you know, the Haas and Moose and trading pieces to get a veteran major leaguer in here as well that can still produce. Maybe Dayton is right. Maybe that is internally what they're constantly discussing. So I don't put anything past Dayton. They obviously, and JJ, they have a better feel on the situation of where their true prospects are and you know, just pointing to the future and seeing what the prospects can be here in the next couple of years. But for me, if I have a chance to get a close prospect to the major leagues for a Santana or a Minor, I would say that would be something that they would pull the trigger on.
Mike McFarland's our guest. We have so many trades that we could ask you about. And before we get back into the Royals, I did want to ask you about this Dodgers trade. Because, look, Max Scherzer is one of the best pitchers in baseball. He's a future Hall of Famer. It's... I mean, just they should be thrilled to be able to acquire Max Scherzer. But Trey Turner, over his last 162 games, he's hit .330 with a .939 OPS, 120 runs, 33 homers, 34 steals, 97 ribbies, a 7.5 WAR, 215 hits over his last 162 games. As I'm reading a couple of tweets, he's a superstar in his prime, and he's the best player that's going to be dealt at this trade deadline. And yes, Max Scherzer, because he's a Hall of Famer and a stud, he's the headliner. But Trey Turner is unbelievable. I mean, wow.
Thank you. And again, that's a situation where half the people on the left coast out there have no idea the tools and the talents that Trey Turner has. That is a huge acquisition for the Dodgers. He is, one, a professional hitter, as you pointed out. He's Whit Merrifield with a little bit more pop, but identical. Plays every game. Doesn't come out of the lineup and yet continues to produce. You never hear or see his stats go in a prolonged slump. Has the ability, the on-base percentage like Carlos Santana of getting on there, and Gold Glove level defensive player at several positions. So Trey Turner is one of those quiet secrets that he is definitely one of the best players in the game that no one ever talks about because he's just so steady, you know, and that's the thing. It is a huge get. And now you think about, all right, you put him over there. Well, which stud on the field for the Dodgers do you put on the bench, which then makes it their bench that much stronger? So, I mean, look, they got a gazillion dollars out there in L.A., and they'll just raise the price of beer and hot dogs and Cokes out there, I guess, to help compensate for that. But they don't care. They just want to go and get on a roll and take this run as long as possible while a lot of these players are in their prime in L.A.
You know, I think people that don't pay attention to the standings just assume, the Dodgers are running away with this thing. They're still three games behind the Giants. And the Padres, like you said earlier, they're 2.5 games behind the Dodgers. But if you're the Giants, I know they don't have the same deep pocketbooks that the Dodgers do. But, I mean, you're the Giants today. You got to do something. You got to do something, right?
I mean, it is severely smoke and mirrors. I mean, you look up and down that lineup and you're seeing, you know, low batting averages. Their pitchers that were on the scrap heap have come and had a resurgence and just have an outstanding year. I mean, at some point, don't you go, okay, how long is this going to last? You know, when are they going to hit a wall? They've been relatively injury-free, you know, being from that area. Obviously, I follow them and the A's a lot, but they're solid defensively. Guys are having a career year. Posey is back to somewhat being at the Buster Posey level. And, you know, you got Yastrzemski, who's in a huge slump right now, but he'll go 1-for-4, but that one hit will drive in two runs or get a ground out to get that third RBI. So, I mean, just states the fact that averages don't mean anything, but these guys are doing the small things that you don't really hear about anymore. Yeah, they have some pop in the lineup, but they are extremely good at getting a runner over and getting a runner in. I think they have one of the highest success rates in all of Major League Baseball. And then you still got Cueto out there flipping that junk up there and giving them 5 innings to 6 innings every game and still dealing. So, look, is the bubble going to burst on them and reality set in? I don't know. We're a long ways into this season that they're proving a lot of people wrong because they're playing extremely good baseball. And, look, was never particularly a Gabe Kapler fan as far as his managerial abilities go, but he's doing something right because that is a very good team that, again, no one realizes they're on top of the NL West above the Dodgers and Padres.
So, Mac, you said you follow the Bay Area team since you're from out there. So what do you think of what the A's have done during the, up until this trade deadline?
Well, again, that's Oakland. Start with the stadium and everything else. You know, it's a constant battle that, those players just get worn down from not only the conditions of the clubhouse and the stadium. It is the, you know, the epitome of us versus them mentality there in Oakland. They have some players that can hit, that when they get on a roll, one or two of those guys can carry the entire team. They have arms. in the back end of that bullpen, in the middle of the bullpen. The starters have been fairly consistent. They're still a very good ball club, but the Astros are the ones that are just trying to run away with this thing that they're putting together the, screw you season part two here in Houston. So they're in a tough division as well, but they're dead in the thick of things when it comes in to the wild card race.
Yeah, the Astros had two closers, Yimi Garcia from Miami and Kendall Graveman from Seattle, but then the A's had Starling Marte, who's he's a good outfielder, he's a good bat, but who knows if we've seen the A's make some moves in the past, but it doesn't turn into postseason success.
That is 100%. We will not send money anywhere. You will send us money and give us what we ask for. That's the way they make deals.
All right, let's talk about the Royals. They're the hottest team in baseball right now. What is the significance of beating the White Sox 3 out of 4 games in this recent series?
Huge. Look, I think Monty said it best when we started that Tigers series that their bubble was about to burst. Why not us be the guys to do it? So you were catching the Tigers on a win streak that you knew they were bound to implode at some point. You get on a little bit of roll, and then you get into the White Sox. The huge home runs from Salvi, having a monster series. Soler starting to find his stroke a little bit. Hunter Dozier is starting to look a little bit more normal. But to me, 100%, the starting pitching has just been fantastic. And just very impressed with how they're going out on the mound. And look, we talked about it last week. You're starting to see more of these guys starting to, instead of going the extremes of fastball and changeup and trying to overthrow the ball with the fastball, the development of the breaking ball from a lot of these guys, Bubich included, just seeing them go out there and be able to throw that consistently for a strike puts that third pitch in the mind of a hitter. And Keller's just starting to get that tempo and rhythm that we're used to seeing him have, where that breaking ball has its depth. You're facing some hot starting pitchers for the Kansas City Royals. And, Mike Minor's done the same thing. He is who he is. At least you can say he's been consistent. He can go out and throw you six innings strong, or you'll find out real quick if his stuff isn't on that night and he'll get hit hard. But the guy knows how to pitch, and more importantly, he finds out real quick, okay, that pitch isn't working, and immediately goes to one of his secondary pitches that he does have a feel and control over. And, it's going to be pretty interesting to see how Lynch and Minor and Keller do up in Toronto. They're going to be fired up in Toronto because they're actually going to be playing in their own home field. This is going to be a good test against a very good hitting Blue Jay team.
And Toronto has a new closer in Brad Hand, who they acquired from the Nationals.
Yeah, that's not bad, but right. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but we've kind of handed his hand. I get it.
Hey,
handed,
I like that.
Handed it to him a couple times.
That's exactly right. I like that wordplay.
The guy doesn't strike fear in the Royals hitters, in my opinion.
So you mentioned the starting pitching. Yesterday when we had J.J. Piccolo on the show, I asked him about Carlos Hernandez because he was going to start yesterday. And JJ said they've kind of resisted the notion that Carlos Hernandez just projects to being a back of the bullpen arm, And there's nothing wrong with that. He throws 100, but a lot of people it felt like he's going to be a reliever, but they wanted to explore the idea of him being a starting pitcher. And that has not looked like a great idea, but yesterday it did. 6 innings, 4 hits, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. We talk so much about the guys that they've drafted recently, the college pitchers. What do you think of Carlos Hernandez now that we saw the best of him yesterday against the White Sox?
Well, we talked about it last week. When I saw this kid in spring training pitch, I was like, who the blank is this kid? Look at this arm. I mean, explosive. And then he goes out and does what he did, and what, a 110-degree heat index yesterday in that blast furnace of a field. The curveball, exceptional with the little slider. And, oh, by the way, I'm still throwing 99 in the sixth inning in that heat. It's a horse. It's the same as Brad Keller. You're looking at a guy that can go out there and dominate as well as he did. That arm is explosive. And from day one, I'm like, oh, my gosh, look what we have here. You know, just the fact that he can come in and power the ball in the upper 90s, everyone immediately thinks, okay, we got to put him in the back end of the bullpen and let him be a closer. Well, not when you're that big and you're that strong and his secondary pitches are starting to develop at the major league level. No, I think you ride this as long as possible for him to prove himself as a starter, because it is some kind of impressive, and it's a lot of fun watching him out there on the mound, because that breaking ball, his changeup, is just getting better and better each and every time he steps on the mound.
Right, what are we looking for from Daniel Lynch so he could build on that success of that last outing and continue to show that he's making some strides in the right direction?
Well, yeah, okay, now you're facing the Blue Jays. So this is going to be the test. The Tigers, you got some young hitters that are susceptible to go up there and swing at thrown ball, but now you got a few more professional hitters and some guys that know how to work an approach to hitting with the Blue Jays. And maybe they will be over amped to be back up into whatever the hell they call the Sky Dome now. And go up there and use that aggressiveness against him. But he worked the ball down much, much better. And I think the one thing when he did get sent back down was the first order of business was, belt high fastballs go a long way and get hit real hard. So you saw him against the Tigers working the ball down in the zone extremely well. So hopefully he can continue with that and find that secondary pitch to keep those hitters off balance, because if there's one thing you know about the Blue Jays, they can spin on a bullet. They can hit a fastball of any velocity. So, changing speeds, mixing things up, and just nod your head to whatever Salvi puts down and go out and execute the pitch.
Mac, with the Royals making another trade before the trade deadline today at 3 o'clock?
I think so. I mean, I think someone's going to come to just put something out there that it's going to be too good for Dayton to pass up. I do. I think something's going to go. I don't think it's going to be Benintendi. If I had to say anything, maybe one of those middle relievers or other than Barlow and Brents and, maybe Mike Minor. I don't know. I do think they're gonna make a change, though, and someone's going to come with something that Dayton's going to go, look, this is too good to pass up. We got to pull the trigger on this.
Jake says that the Giants should trade a good outfield prospect for Mike Minor. How's that sound?
It's Mikey Minor.
Mikey Minor. Mm-hmm. Would you sign off on
Mikey,
that?
I like Mikey.
Guess what? Mike Minor will go to the Giants and have a 1.78 ERA for the rest of the year. I promise you that. So make it happen.
It's happened before. I just hope Danny gets healthy and we get to see him make a deep playoff run with the Dodgers in his hometown.
Get on the phone with your connections in San Francisco and tell them to make an offer, all right? We'll make this thing happen, all right?
We'll do it. All right.
Thank you, Mac.
Have a good weekend, boys.
You do the same thing. That's Mike McFarland. Because that's what happens. Pitchers go to the Giants and become stars. And I'm telling you, man, you look at their roster and you look at the Dodgers roster and you think, how in the hell are they 3 games ahead? Even the Padres, how are they 5.5 games ahead of the Dodgers? Like, look at guys like Logan Webb. Look at Kevin Gausman and what he's become when he's gone to the Giants. It's just, you got to give them credit because on paper it doesn't look like it.
Right.
You know? Like I heard somebody say, well, yeah, the Dodgers, they're just going to, keep running away with this thing. I said, they're in second place. I mean, yeah, they're probably going to win it now, but they're behind the Giants.
By 3 games.
I'm not rooting for the Giants, so I can promise you that. I don't need to see them win nothing ever for the rest of their existence.
Why not?
I don't want to. I don't want to.
I'm rooting for the Padres in that division.
Yeah, that's right.
I like the Padres.
I'll sign off on that. You want Hosbeck in the postseason, don't you?
This is a weird thing. I like the color combination of yellow and brown.
And that's why you're rooting for him?
Not necessarily.
Does this come from you going to the bathroom
a lot?
You
know, I'm a uniform guy.
That's funny.
I used to root for all my favorite teams based on their uniforms and all
the
that.
The only person that I know that gets more irritated with uniforms is Curtis Siebold.
He and I are both uniform police. Yeah, we are.
Oh, he gets
for sure.
He's super mad.
Yeah, he's probably even more over the top about it than I am.
Yo, but I respect.
I'll tell you
it.
What.
If you care about something,
you might get mad about this. But those
I'm gonna get mad.
Curtis Siebold.
Those powder blue Blue Jays uniforms from back in the day were like my favorite. Yeah. Those, and they were wearing them last night against the Red Sox.
Well, my favorite uniforms.
Those uniforms are awesome.
Or the Royals powder blue, and I
wish they'd wear
them. Why not?
The full kit.
Yeah, why not?
That's what the Blue Jays did last night. They were playing the Red Sox, and they had the powder blue from head to toe, just like they did in the 80s.
But why? Like, why did they get away from powder blue?
I don't understand. I don't know. It's insane. Because those uniforms, those Royals uniforms that were powder blue, were some of the greatest uniforms of all time.
I'm not talking about for a retro night.
Right.
I want powder blue.
Yes. I'm agreeing with you.
Do you care enough, or I would like powder blue at all times.
Look, either go all powder blue or no powder blue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just
half-assed.
Right, the white pants with the powder blue,
come on.
Nate doesn't want him to half-ass it.
No, full-ass it.
It's a full-ass uniform.
Full-ass it.
How about all red for the Chiefs, flamed up?
That's different. I'm not a fan of that one so much. No,
you don't like that at
that's
all.
That's not my thing. I don't hate it, but I don't like it.
You did hate it.
Well, I don't like it.
Flamed up.
I mean, players like it, then if Mahomes likes it,
What's your favorite NFL uniform? Besides the Chiefs. You can't say the Chiefs.
Oh, man.
Best NFL uniform.
The Chiefs and Raiders have the best uniforms.
I don't like
in the
to
NFL.
Talk to you sometimes.
Sorry. They're great uniforms.
Sometimes don't say what you're thinking.
Sorry.
I like
the Steelers uniforms a lot. I think the Steelers have a great uniform.
He just angered me. What's he going to say? I like the Broncos uniform, too.
The Broncos uniforms used to be great. The old orange crushes were great uniforms. I love those. The new ones suck.
Look like someone...
I want to punch you right in your mouth.
The Chargers, powder blue.
Yeah, now those are good with the helmets.
Like the
light blue. I'll say that, yeah.
The light blue ones, not the navy blue. The navy blue Chargers uniforms suck, but
Broncos
the light blue ones...
old uniforms?
The orange crush, those were cool, man.
They're
I like
not
those.
Great. There's nothing great about them.
when I see those, I get angry, and I want to...
Me too.
Throw things.
I get mad. Real? I get mad at you just saying that.
I get triggered when I see those old uniforms.
Oh.
Those don't represent happiness to me.
No.
It's a bad association.
It angers me so.
I understand.
A very hard time in my life.
Well.
I had to watch my father do some really bad, say some really bad things.
Yeah. The best uniforms in the NFL are the ones that haven't changed. The Chiefs.
Packers.
Raiders.
Packers.
Packers are great uniforms. The Steelers are great uniforms.
This is going to sound weird. What new uniforms I kind of like?
What?
I like the Jet shiny helmets.
They look like Tootsie Pops.
The green
Tootsie Pops.
Weird. I know.
Who's calling in on the hotline? I demand to know who's calling in on this damn hotline. If it's Bonick, we'll put him him on the show. You put him through. You put him through to
That's
me.
That's right. Direct line. Direct line. See, there are some new uniforms I like. I think a lot of the NBA uniforms that are new are nice. I like those.
You like that Valley
thing?
I'm
trying to think if there's a new NFL uniform that I like. 49ers have good uniforms.
Yeah, I like seeing those uniforms. It reminds me of the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
That's right. See, that's a happy memory for you.
Yeah, it's Boddicker.
What's he?
I don't know. I'll call him back.
Put him on.
Can you call him back?
Mike. What did you?
I don't know what he. I have no idea what he's about to say. I don't know if he wanted to just talk to me. Sometimes he calls just to talk to me. I'm doing this live on the air.
Yeah, why not? If he's gonna call during the show.
What's up?
Put him on the air.
Oh, I'll put you on.
All right.
He's in my camp. He's in my camp. He wants.
What do you say, Mike Boddicker?
Uniform.
What do you say, Mike?
What do you say, Mike? Say it.
Yeah. Thank you, Dave. Green Bay Packers uniforms are a classic.
They're fantastic.
Yeah, to me, besides the Chiefs, they're the best.
They're good. I mean,
I'm with them.
They haven't changed too. I mean,
I just like the Brewers.
I like,
That's like the Brewers uniforms back when they're Harvey's Wallbangers.
With the glove and the ball.
Yeah. The glove and the ball. Yeah. Fantastic.
I like those. MB. Did you know there's MB in the glove?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, why are you calling in? What's your reaction to the Royals trading Danny Duffy?
I'm happy for Danny. I'm kind of shocked that they made the trade. We'll see what pans out as far as that player to be named later. I think, what does it depend on? If he even gets a uniform on for him, I don't know.
They're going to scout. They got a group of players they can scout, and they're putting some money in there.
Danny
Duffy.
Get their pick. They get like there's a list of guys. They get to scout them for 2 months. Two guys.
Hey, that's a great thing that they're willing to add some money in with this thing and get a better player.
Especially since they didn't get to watch him play in the minors last year.
I think it's a good deal.
I think it's great. I think it's great. Good for Danny, and hopefully it'll be great for us.
When did you find out? Tell us one quick story about when you found out you were traded for Curt Schilling.
I got pulled off the field in batting practice.
So what did you think? Like, were you thinking that you might get traded? Was it unexpected?
Well,
there was
rumors flying because we sucked and I didn't have a very good record. I think I was 0-8 with like a 3-something ERA. That was the year we started 0-23, whatever it was, 0-21.
Who's counting?
It was when I got pulled off, I went, okay. But I had enough time in where I could kind of dictate where I wanted to go. And basically I was told, it was Frank Robinson and who was the GM? I can't remember. But they called me in and said, listen, we'd like to have you stay here to mentor the younger kids. You know, we could work this deal out if you wanted to, but basically you wouldn't pitch much. And I'm going, you don't think I can pitch anymore? Well, you know, you have no fastball. I said, I never had a fastball.
That's right.
You know, your fastball's dying. I said, it's been dead for years. But I said, if you don't think I can pitch anymore, make the trade.
You can't lose something you never had.
So were you?
Exactly.
So were you mad to go to Boston, or were you glad to Boston?
No, I was kind of crushed because Baltimore had been the team I was drafted and grew up with and spent all that time with, and it was tough leaving my friends, and it was tough. But you know, it was I was going to a team that was very good, and I knew a lot of the guys on there. Bruce Hirsch is a friend of mine. Gedman. Guys in Boggs, and guys I'd played with and against in the minor leagues for quite a while, so I knew everybody, and they wanted me. I mean, I found out that the players, you know, Clemens, Boggs, Dwight Evans, and Jim Rice, those guys went in and said, hey, if you can make this trade, get Boddicker, which made me feel really good.
So Boggs was all fired up. He wanted you.
Yeah. And then he punched me.
Right.
That's because you're so damn good looking, man. That's your fault.
Because his wife.
No, I had pretty eyes. That was it. That was
you
just
still do.
So people that don't know what you're talking about, it was on the plane. And what? Why did he punch you? What happened?
Because it was during that Margo thing where, you know, it was a big fiasco. Yeah. I just got traded right when it all came out, and his wife Debbie was flying with the team to keep him out of trouble. So we were playing cards back there, and she was sitting there by Wade and looked at him and just said, you know, you really got pretty eyes. And bang, that was it. That's all it took.
Had pretty eyes.
And Dwight Evans told you, you can't hit him back. He won't even remember.
He won't feel it.
That's right.
And basically, he didn't. I mean, he said, did I hit you last night? I went, yep.
Let's get a round of applause right now. Yesterday was the anniversary. July 29th, 1988, Mike Boddicker goes to the Boston Red Sox for Brady Anderson and Curt Schilling.
Yeah, what a bad trade that was. Well, huh?
You performed well for the Red Sox.
I did. For 2.5 years, I pitched really well.
Right.
Yeah.
You've also been better with your money.
Jake, you said.
Yeah, than Schilling? Yeah.
Jake, what,
I said they traded you for a couple of cheaters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It worked out. There's always a reason.
That's right.
Like me coming here to Kansas City. I was supposed to be here. This is my home. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. So.
That's right. You were destined to be. Yeah, that's right.
Now you can't get away from us.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you can't. Anybody that's ever lived here and been around the country, this is by far the best city in the country to me. I love it.
You know what? We love you. That's right. Why we want you, if next time Wade Boggs comes to town, If you would have him reenact that punch, we could do that on 38 The Spot. People would go crazy.
Well, I can get it. I tell you what, I can get him drunk up enough to do that.
Well, there we go.
Do it. I'd like
sounds
to
like a show.
I
don't know like, why you act like we won't. We don't want that. I've asked for.
Well, I don't want to get hit again.
I've asked for Wade Boggs to be involved in the show in any way, shape, or form, and I've just that's
You can
something.
Punch me this time. If he wants, just get him.
If Wade Boggs
sign up for that.
You don't. You guys don't understand how strong Wade Boggs is.
I've had my mouth punched loose.
You know
before?
What Kansas City would do if Wade Boggs knocked Nate's lights out? I mean, that'd be fantastic.
I'd go crazy.
You could raise so much money for charity.
Oh, let's do it.
Oh,
big
man,
steps.
That's a thought. If I can get
Boggs from Big Steps. And Mike's Foundation.
Yeah.
The Boddicker Family Foundation could benefit greatly from Wade Boggs.
If I'm getting punched in the face, I want to go to Big Steps.
You got to split it. You got to,
share.
All right, I'll split it with you, Bob.
Loose.
Hey, are they going to make any other trades today?
I was going to ask you that. What's your prediction?
Not trading Mikey.
Man, I don't know. I was really shocked with the Duffy thing. I didn't think they'd be able to pull that off. They did a pretty good job. Yeah. I mean, that's, Duffy's got talent, but, I mean, he's on the IL. It's hard to trade for somebody on the IL.
Yeah, it's a pretty good deal. I like it.
You can do it.
I like it from the Royals side.
Trust
Way
the process.
Way to go, Dayton.
I think that someone should give a good prospect for Jorge Soler. That's just me spitballing. That's what I think should happen.
Well, I tell you what, Hazy is. That wouldn't be a bad thing down the stretch.
That guy can hit the ball a mile.
What do you think about the report that the Red Sox wanted Carlos Santana and the Royals were unwilling to part with him?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to be part of the rebuilding thing?
Before they acquired Schwarber, Mark Feinsand said they talked to the Royals about Carlos Santana. But Dayton Moore is reluctant to trade anyone that's still under contract next year.
Stupid.
Wow. Well, obviously they think they're going to compete next year. And if the young pitching keeps pitching like this, they might.
Hey, your boy Carlos Hernandez looked like a pitcher, not just a thrower yesterday.
He had command. I mean, I'm going, whoa, where'd this come from?
He looked like a belly itcher. Mike, thank you for calling into the show.
Yeah,
we appreciate you very much.
Yeah,
thanks for listening.
Just trying to fill some dead space.
Can you call back again in 5 minutes? That's Mike Boddicker. Thank you, Mike.
For 4 hours.
We'll be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.